John Pistole pays a visit to Yemen. Janet Napolitano has a friendly chat with air shipping companies. And a union president analyzes Tuesday's elections. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, November 4th, 2010. NASA managers were scheduled to meet this morning to make a last-minute weather assessment before following through with the countdown of shuttle mission STS-133. Discovery is set tentatively to launch at 3:29 p.m. Eastern Time today, but the weather forecast looks iffy. Check back with aero-news.net for updates. TSA Administrator John Pistole, who also happens to be a 26-year FBI guy, paid a visit to Yemen yesterday to meet with government officials there, including Deputy Prime Minister Rashad Al-Alimi, officials from the Directorate General of Civil Aviation and the Ministry of Interior, as well as the U.S. Ambassador. He also received briefings from TSA inspectors deployed to Yemen and expressed his gratitude for their work and made other stops following the disruption of an attempt last week to ship explosive devices on board aircraft bound for the U.S. Of the response to the threat, Pistole commented, quote, "I am pleased with the work of our TSA inspectors and the cooperation of Yemeni officials to improve cargo security practices. We face a determined enemy, one who modifies their actions, looking for any opportunity to exploit security. Working closely with counterterrorism officials here and abroad, TSA will continue to use the best intelligence, leverage the latest technology, and remain vigilant to address evolving threats," unquote. Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano spoke yesterday with leaders from global shipping companies, including UPS, DHL, FedEx, and TNT, to discuss enhanced air cargo screening and other security efforts. During the call, Napolitano underscored her commitment to partnering with the shipping industry to strengthen cargo security through measures including terrorism awareness training for personnel. Together, the four companies employ more than 1 million employees in hundreds of countries around the world. Following that call, Napolitano spoke with International Air Transport Association Director General Giovanni Bisignani about collaboration with private sector partners and international allies to secure the global supply chain through a layered security approach to identify, deter, and disrupt threats. Reaction to Tuesday's electoral drubbing of incumbents and Democrats is drawing widely varying analysis, and much of it seems to fall in the category of seeing what you want to see. President Obama said yesterday the sea change came about because he didn't take his agenda far enough fast enough, so Americans are dissatisfied with the progress. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says the Tea Party is a reaction to the economy. If politicians don't yet appreciate the awakening of respect for the U.S. Constitution that both major parties have largely ignored lately, they're at least not alone. Tom Buffenbarger, president of the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, also seems to think this is just about the economy. He warned newly elected lawmakers Tuesday night, quote, "Workers who lost their jobs voted their empty wallets. Workers who saw their home values plummet voted their anxieties. And politicians who reacted too slowly paid a heavy price. Those who used the pain and suffering of working families to win an election now have an obligation to deliver on the jobs they promised. Or, in 24 short months, what just happened will happen once again," unquote. I could be wrong, but I'm guessing Buffenbarger probably also thinks the Tea Partiers are happy with the bailout of the United Auto Workers through the federal takeover of GM. What do you think? Should we tell him? Up next on ANN, Delta's flight attendants vote to stay non-union. Corporate Angel Network sets a record in October. And a Canadian reliever airport will close for redevelopment. You're listening to Aero News.
Freedom through control. Cirrus has completely reinvented the personal aircraft and the entire experience of owning a personal aircraft. It's a bold new take on private aviation that we call Cirrus Flying 2.0. You set the schedule. You chart the course. You're in control.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for November 14th. I'm Paul Plagg. It looks like the big opportunity for the Flight Attendants Union, represented by the merger of Delta and Northwest Airlines, has slipped away, at least for now. Before the merger, Northwest flight attendants had union representation for 60 years. Delta managed to keep a good enough relationship with its FAs to stay union-free. In the election brought about by the merger, just over half the eligible employees voted against representation by the Association of Flight Attendants, CWA. The Delta culture apparently won out. Since no thinking person would ever vote down a union, AFA will reportedly ask the National Mediation Board to investigate allegations that Delta interfered with the process through email, regular mail, and intimidating contact with workers. Corporate Angel Network, the organization that transports cancer patients to treatment in the empty seats of corporate jets, says it arranged to carry 317 patients in October. That's the largest number of flights in a single month in its nearly 30-year history. In July, Corporate Angel had flown 307 patients, which at that time was a new monthly record. More than 35,000 flights have been scheduled since the charity was founded in 1981. Corporate Angel works with physicians, corporate flight departments, and leading treatment centers to coordinate patient travel needs with the flight activity of participating corporations. It's not just the U.S. that faces the loss of reliever airports from its national system. In Canada, Buttonville Airport, which occupies about 180 acres near the Markham-Toronto border, will be closed in about 5 years to make room for a real estate development. The National Post reports the owners of the airport have agreed to the sale. Mike Sifton, head of the family which owns the airport, said the decision is bittersweet. The family has owned the property since 1963, and he said his father, Mike Sr., quote, poured his blood, sweat, and tears, unquote, into the airport's operations. Despite 170,000 operations a year, the airport has been defunded. Three flight schools, emergency services, and other aviation-related businesses based at Buttonville are hoping a new airport at Pickering opens before their current home is bulldozed. Still ahead, NATA offers online training for de-icing crews. A seized airplane is stolen back by drug operatives. And a venerable training facility is winding down. Literally. You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved. At facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, November 4th. I'm Paul Plagg. NATA has released an online de-icing and anti-icing training module this week, which it says is designed specifically for the general aviation industry to familiarize line service specialists with the responsibilities of their job and give an overview of the skills necessary for safe aircraft departures in winter weather. Included are best practices and procedures, videos and photos to help shape understanding, resources like current Federal Aviation Administration holdover tables, quizzes, and a final exam to ensure comprehension, all administered online. For more information, see the text version of this story, dated November 3rd, at aero-news.net. A group of five men is suspected of breaking into a Honduran military base at an international airport in the northern part of the country and stealing an airplane that had been seized in an anti-drug operation. The aircraft was stolen from La Mesa International Airport in San Pedro Sula. Security Minister Oscar Alvarez said in a news conference, three guards were attacked by gunmen at an airport gate. Australia's Sky News reports that the perps then went directly to a military hangar where the plane was housed and flew it away. Their destination was not known. The Honduran government says about 800 tons of cocaine pass through the country each year on the way between Colombia and the United States. And finally today, members of the Physiological Training Center wrapped up more than two decades of centrifuge training at Holloman Air Force Base in New Mexico last week. The end of the mission at Holloman was directed by the Department of Defense Base Realignment and Closure of 2005, which brought a consolidation of fighter acceleration training and aerospace medicine research at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio, where a new centrifuge is being built. Since the centrifuge at Holloman was first certified in 1988, it's been the only Air Force-owned human centrifuge used for aircrew training. In its 22 years of operation, almost 32,000 trainees took Holloman's centrifuge for a spin, including service members from all branches, NATO, and our allies. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, hear the first of two parts of FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt's keynote speech at NBAA last month. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.